You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Creativity Wasted is a podcast where three or four comedians or creative people each share a creative idea, such as a movie idea, app idea, or futuristic tech idea. The idea can be funny or serious, well thought out or improvised, realistic or ridiculous, but we'll always have fun talking and joking about it. I'm comedian Jay Stapes.
I'm Chris Karpinski.
I'm your host, Tom Woma. This is Creativity Wasted. Probably one of the best intro readings so far.
Well, thank you. I tried.
So who wants to go first with their idea?
I guess I will.
Okay.
One of the things that bothers me while I drive is when somebody comes up behind me and their bass is just thumping to the point my ears hurt. And I was thinking if there was a sound canceling device that would use a frequency that would cancel that bass within like a 50-foot radius of the car, so the person's not going to know what, you know, why their bass fell out, but then that wouldn't be bothering the person with the noise canceling device. So a noise canceling device to get rid of a heavy bass on the road is an idea I had.
So what would happen is they would be like, what the hell's wrong with the stereo? They would turn it up to max, and then as soon as they got far enough away from you, it would just blare and it would like destroy their eardrums. Is that the goal?
Possibly, yeah. You know, I don't think that was the goal. The goal was just so I wouldn't have to have my ears hurt when their bass was up so loud.
But you're okay with that side effect?
Oh yeah, if they needed, you know, loud enough to, you know, hurt my ears in my car, they only, you know, deserve that if they, you know, once I get out of range.
So I've heard, I can hear bass and get annoyed by bass when I'm on land and a car drives by.
Yep.
But are you talking like on the highway, you can hear the bass? Or
no, I'm talking like, you know, if you're in town and you're pulled up at a stoplight and somebody's behind you and your car starts to shake.
Oh, at a stoplight. Yeah, that makes more sense. I was going to say.
Right, not just anywhere. I mean, if I'm flying down the highway, I don't need their bass to go away. I'm going to be by them soon enough.
So if you, let's say this device, do you want it to be just, you're like the only owner of this device, or do you want it to be a product that's
sold? Oh, no, multiple owners. I mean, if you don't want to hear somebody else's bass thumping when you're going down the road, you know, welcome to it. You know, the idea of having this is so, you know, I can make some money off the idea. And the more people that buy it, the merrier.
So the people whose bass got canceled out, they're parked near your car so they can get out of their car and start road rage, like yelling and like, who turned off my bass? Like,
oh, that would be the best part. So you're parked right next
to
each
other. They look like a fool, man.
Yes.
So you'd have to do the thing where you pretend that it's not you, like try not to smile.
I just look straight down at the wheel if someone were to try to come up.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, nobody's going to know that it's me, and I'm not going to give it away.
But if you're the only other car parked at the stoplight, then they would know it was you.
Well, no, they wouldn't know what happens. I mean, this would be sort of, at least during the first few months of the introduction, nobody's going to know these things exist. Except, I mean, most people would probably not wonder who it is. And most of the time it's not, you know, I guess you could control it too. If you are the only person out at midnight and somebody comes thumping up behind you and you don't want them to get out of their car and, you know, go after you, then you just shut it off. But if you're in traffic on a, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, lots of cars around, I want to be the one silencing them.
Maybe it could have a feature where you, this is silly, like auto lock their doors too, so they can't get out.
That would be a neat feature. Yeah. I
mean, their brakes don't work.
Sound, we might as well lock their doors.
Brakes don't work. Why stop just right there? Let's go crazy.
No.
What else can
we
take?
I don't want anyone to get hurt. I just don't want to hear their bass.
Maybe their tinted windows get rolled down so you can see that they're smoking pot in the car or something. No, I don't. I hope I'm not bordering on racist here.
But no, the sound canceling, you know, it's just one of those things. Actually, it was 2 days ago. I was in traffic and my car started to shake. And then I realized it was the, you know, the 1974 Pontiac Grand Prix behind me that was just pumping out the bass.
I hear you, though, because that's really annoying. All I'm trying to do is sit in peace and quiet, and then my whole car starts shaking. And we need something like
that. My first. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, my first reaction when I heard that was to, like, turn up my radio, but I realized that there's no way that NPR was going to, you know, drown out what they were listening to.
Then you get into one of those music battles, and you're turning up your volume, yeah, and he's turning up his volume, yeah, and then you lose.
And I don't. I have factory installed stereo, so it's not going to do what his is doing.
It seems to me, I don't know, maybe it's just where I live changed or something, but the loud bass thumping in cars seemed to peak in the late 90s to me. Maybe that's because that was when I was a teenager. And I was just around it more. But it seems like within the MP3 era and the iPhone era.
Zune. Got the Zune too.
But like, I don't even listen to my car stereo. I listen to the music on my phone in my car. I guess there's always people who try to impress people with booming bass. But to me, I don't think that's as big of a thing. I think if you go to Best Buy and you look at the car stereo section, I don't think it's as big as it used to be.
No way.
No, it wasn't. I mean, the car stereos, I mean, I'm probably twice your age, but back in the late 70s, it was all the rage. You had to put in a different stereo. You couldn't go with what your car came with. You had the speakers that were, you know, extra big that you had to cut the bigger holes in the back of your back panels, you know, to get them in there to get that loud stereo. It's not so much a thing. Now it's more quality as opposed to quantity.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I have anything else to add.
Other than that would be so cool. So get on that, Ford or someone.
What would you call it?
Yeah. I don't know, the bass canceler.
The bass canceler.
Oh, you need a catchier name than that.
I guess I do. How about Boom Be Gone?
There we go.
Boom Be Gone.
Yeah, the Boom Be Gone device.
Would you be able to take one, like, with you, like, on foot? Like, could, like,
some... Why not? You know, it's going to be portable.
Now, let's say you go to Coachella or some music concert with one of these hidden in your pocket. You just...
Wait, how big are we talking that this little device is going to be?
It wouldn't have to be any bigger than your wallet.
Okay.
Would it have the power to, like, shut down an entire concert? Like some jackass sneaks it in?
I think that would probably be, I don't know. No, I don't think you could shut down an entire concert because you'd have to, first of all, be close enough to the stage. And secondly, you have multiple sources and not just one that's super loud. Besides, I think that's a real dick move if you, you know, try to shut down a concert.
Also, I think to cancel out the sound, it has to vibrate sort of at the same strength.
Oh, it's definitely going in my pocket. Right. Then.
So if it's at, like, next to your balls and it's vibrating enough to cancel a 10-foot high speaker.
That's why it's going in my pocket.
Yeah, that might not be healthy. Yeah, that could be like.
Anybody else have an idea? I think we've pretty much exhausted the Boom Be Gone.
Okay, you ready, Jay?
Okay. Well, I thought I was ready, so I wasn't quite sure on what this whole show was about. So I was thinking that my idea is that we're going to be talking about comedy. No, we're not. So
it can be a funny idea, but it's an idea.
Yeah. So I thought of one. I'm sure everyone has been set everyone's been talking about this or it has been mentioned or something like that on this show. And it's, we have the Apple Watch, right? I want a watch that can project my face kind of like you see in Star Wars or Star Trek or like all those sci-fi things. Where's that? That's what I'm pitching.
Like just like a foot above your wrist.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's not a big hologram, but it's enough to see your face. That's what I want. We have FaceTime. Now let's actually go all the way.
And do holograms.
There's a thing called Pepper's.
I think that would.
Go ahead.
I think that would scare me. If I were to see that, that would freak me out just a little bit.
That would be, for me, that would be so cool. Just because then you could, we already have with the iPhone 10, the face recognition where that's borderline creepy. But that would just be, I don't know. I'm a huge tech guy and I love Star Wars. So for me, if I had a watch like that, then it would be so cool and I could definitely freak a lot of people out.
There's a thing called Pepper's Ghost, which is like a magic thing. You might know. You're into magic, right? You know what a Pepper's Ghost is?
I've never heard of it.
No. I think I have. You can use them to project, like at Halloween time, to project like ghosts in windows and stuff, and it looks 3D.
Yeah, it's like
the same thing.
It's like it's not a hologram in the sense that it's floating in air. It's like it looks like a hologram through a piece of glass or plastic.
I'm glad that we established I'm the world's worst magician because I didn't know what that was.
And they used to use it like they would have a guy below the stage, the magician would, and there would be a hole in the stage. And then above the stage, they would have like glass and the audience would see like a hologram looking ghost thing through
the glass.
I think
I've seen that on like Penn and Teller and one of those shows.
And there was a famous thing. I think it was Coachella again, like Tupac hologram that they did maybe 5 years ago. It was really famous, like because Tupac was dead and they had a hologram of him singing and it was really.
Wait, Tupac's
really
dead?
Well,
so they say.
Yes, right.
I'm talking as if it's 50 years in the future and people are still listening to this archived podcast.
And we have the watch.
Yeah. But they use the Pepper's Ghost. I had an idea for a previous episode of the podcast where I wanted a hologram above a car.
Oh, that would be scary.
If somebody pisses you off, you can like pop your head up and like glare at them and curse them and through a loudspeaker and scare the shit out of them or whatever.
Would that be worse than texting and driving?
Probably. looking into that, there's a homemade way of making Pepper's Ghost with a phone or a tablet or a computer screen by putting like four pieces of like triangular glass on top of a screen that's facing up like my phone is right now on the table. And so that creates a hologram above. So like the watch, it could create a little hologram above the watch, but it wouldn't be huge. It would be.
Oh, no, I'm not expecting it to beam up to the sky like a CVS receipt. All I want is a little hologram. That would be super cool.
It would
cool
literally
for me.
Be like.
Like Princess Leia being projected.
Exactly.
From R2-D2.
Exactly. Small little thing.
I don't remember exactly what.
I've
seen most of the Star Wars movies, but I don't remember how big the holograms were on the
watches.
Oh,
you're breaking my heart, Tom.
Kate glared at me. Do you remember? This is like Geek Central Podcast Detroit. Like they make fun of me for not listening
you don't
to
know
Dungeons
Star
and Dragons.
Wars?
And like, I don't know all the Star Wars stuff.
But you'd say that
did you just say Dungeons and Dragons?
Tall. Yeah.
We're not that level. Now I'm offended. Whatever. Everyone's offended.
I don't do Dungeons and Dragons.
The other board op, the guy who was a board op who came in, he made fun of me for not liking Dungeons and Dragons, not knowing how it works.
So you can make fun of him for liking it. It goes both ways.
But anyway, so the Pepper's Ghost over the iPhone or the Apple Watch would only be like the height of the screen of the watch. So if the screen is only like an inch and a half long, that max height of the Pepper's Ghost image would be like an inch and a half above the top of the watch.
Oh, that I'm totally cool with that.
And you'd also have a giant thing of glass sticking up above the watch that maybe other people couldn't see, but it would be heavy on your wrist. And if you like scratched your ass wrong, it might like puncture your ass or whatever.
I already have wrist problems, so what's one more thing?
But yeah, to look cool, it might be worth risking puncturing your ass.
You know, with a pointy
glass Apple Watch hologram thing.
Well, you know, you'd probably take your watch hologram off if you're going to wipe yourself or get anywhere near there. I mean, you know, you wouldn't want to.
Not if you're a daredevil.
You know, you wouldn't want a hologram on your ass. I just don't think.
You accidentally caught butt dial someone.
What were we talking about again? Oh,
the watch.
Just the watch. Okay, not the. Yeah, I took it in a weird direction.
It's okay.
Do you have an Apple Watch? Do you like it?
I actually don't have an Apple Watch. I'm too poor because, as you know, all comedians are broke. And so I don't have an Apple Watch. I would love to get one, but they're expensive. So,
well, it would be more expensive with the hologram.
It would be. So I'm definitely never getting one of those, but it'd
unless
be cool.
You're stealing one.
I don't. I plead the fifth on that.
Using your magic skills.
Yeah, I would just make it disappear. Yeah. I'm good with cards. So if I build a card house around it, I can make it disappear.
And then take it for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Apple Watch.
That's actually a good premise for a magic trick. To make things disappear when you build a card house around it.
Right?
Like smash the card house and it's gone.
That would be really good. I'm not that good at magic, though, so. I need to work on that. I'd be a really good thief.
There's a trick to develop.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just, you know, work on that trick. Get on Penn and Teller's Fool Us and you've got it made.
Exactly. Shoot. Have you seen the movie Now You See Me? Now You See Me
No.
Too?
I saw the first one. Yeah. I rented the second one and it wouldn't play in my DVD player.
Oh, man.
And so I had to take it back. And I think that was somebody's trick.
Yeah, well, they made your money disappear.
Yeah, they made my money disappear.
Well, in that, they're thieves and they use magic to steal all kinds of different things for the people that don't know what it's about. So I could be – what I'm saying is I'm auditioning for Now You See Me 3 right here, right now.
Now, in your act, you sort of do – from what I remember, I could be wrong. You intentionally do magic tricks wrong for your comedy act, right?
Correct. I do two wrong magic tricks sprinkled in with some one-liner jokes, and then I do an actual magic trick for the third one.
Okay. I don't remember ever seeing the actual, like, one that actually worked. Does the actual magic trick always work?
This one, now that I've been performing, yes, it does. But every now and then, you know, sometimes I don't control the card correctly and then it doesn't work. So, but this one's foolproof. The one that I'm doing now is foolproof. Okay. So I say.
It's funny that you do magic. It's sort of funny because occasionally I've been on a comedy shows where they want you to do something that isn't comedy. They do a show, and I've done magic, and I purposely do bad magic.
It's
although
some of the
best.
One
time I did a card trick.
Yeah.
Did this card trick, and, you know, I go through all these motions of the card trick, and at the end, it'll be the wrong card, and I'll say, well, wouldn't it have been amazing if it were the right card? I did this at a show, and somebody put the card in the deck the wrong way.
Oh.
So I knew which card was his. And it was a moral dilemma. Do I go for the joke? Or do I go to make people think I can do magic?
Exactly.
I went for the magic.
I've been in those predicaments too because not every magic trick works 100%. Excuse me. So whenever a trick doesn't work, I usually say, well, that's why I'm performing comedy and not magic.
Yeah, some comics look down on alternative acts. I like to see...
I like variety when I go to a show. So if you can do magic or if you're funny and can make me laugh, because that's also very difficult sometimes for people, then...
I like variety once in a while. Like, we have too many puppet people.
Yes.
Yeah, so we've got like four puppet people in the local stand-up scene.
I've only met like maybe two, so I'm blessed that I haven't met the other two.
Well, there's Greg Scherer, who's done the podcast. There's CC Dynamite. There's an African-American woman whose name I forgot.
Oh, man.
And I think there's another one that pops up once in a while.
I just know like a heavier set guy that he was at, I think, Ridley's or something like that.
White guy?
Yep.
Like a probably Greg Scherer. He's heavy, but not like heavy. He's
right.
Like
yes,
260 pounds, maybe not like 500 pounds.
I think he was the only one that I've.
So he's just regular comedian heavy.
Yeah, regular comedian heavy. Yeah. But back to your idea. I don't want to.
We get so sidetracked. Yeah, it's this futuristic talk.
So the Apple Watch with a hologram. So what do you want the hologram for other than just to talk to somebody's head?
Oh, you could talk to anyone. You could send emotes to them through like texting. You could do everything that an Apple Watch could do. You could project the time. That would be super cool for me. You could show the weather, so you could show everyone around you. I think that'd be super cool.
Would it have hologram notifications?
That might
scare the shit out of you if it happened in the wrong time or the wrong notification comes up. Somebody sends you like a Facebook like porn thing. Every once in a while, porn gets on Facebook, and then all of a sudden, it's a foot high.
I don't
know
what Facebook you're going on, Tom, but
they filter it out pretty good, but not always. Every once in a while, you'll get a porn thing on Facebook.
I don't think I've ever gotten a single porn thing on my Facebook.
Usually, it's from an African American comedian, but not always.
Oh.
Or a dick pic, which is usually from a white comedian for some reason.
Never gotten one of those.
Oh, well, hold on.
Not asking either.
Oh. Oh, shucks.
Now, the iPhone thing, would the person you're sending it to have to have the phone in order to see the hologram?
Yes. You need to have the... otherwise, it'll be kind of like what the iPhone already has, where you can draw and send that. It would just show up as like a drawing to them, which would be super lame. And you could be like bragging rights. Hey, like I can send holograms. You can't.
What if it, like similar to 3D glasses, like it's not actually a hologram, but you need like special glasses to see it. So only people who have these hologram watches would be able to see it. Would that be a good thing or a bad thing?
I think that'd be a horrible thing.
It'd give you a little degree of privacy. So people who are like annoyed by tech wouldn't see it and complain to you.
I think it'd be a cool function if they add that into it to where you can make it to where you can buy these special glasses. And then if you're wearing the glasses, you can see it regardless, like maybe a privacy mode or something like that. But if you're wearing the glasses, then you can still see it through like some setting or something that they come up with. I don't know. They come with all kinds of ideas that I would never think of. So get on this, Apple or Android.
Or maybe, yeah, maybe it's just the Google Glass.
Those are so cool. Have you seen those?
I haven't seen it in person.
I've never seen those in person, and I'm way too poor, like I said. But I've seen like videos of people working on Google Glass, and it's remarkable what you can do with that kind of technology.
But if you were wearing the Google Glass, you could have it project an image from the glasses to your eyeball that's sort of where the watch is. So you're sort of using the watch as a not like a mouse pointer, kind of like a mouse pointer to just control what you're seeing with the Google Glass. Maybe.
They would work in tangent. You could probably use Bluetooth, if it's still around in this futuristic world, to connect the two together. I would think that would be super cool.
So the watch is telling the Google Glass where to show the hologram, so it's not just interrupting your vision when you're trying to see something that you need to do, like you're chopping vegetables and Google Glass blocks the vegetables and all of a sudden
then
your fingers
cut your hand off and
yeah. So the watch, although if you're wearing the watch when you're cutting the vegetables in yeah, you'd have to know to take the watch off.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, whatever.
Well, for us magicians, we would cut off our fake hand because we always have one of those fake hands.
You'd always cut your vegetables with fake hands just in case.
Well.
Did
you have an idea?
Yeah, I have a – okay, we're done with your idea?
I don't have
anything else to say. I was
trying
to extend it a little longer just because we're only halfway through.
I don't have anything else to say except
for I've got other ideas if you need them.
Well, we'll do one of my ideas, and then we'll go back and do your idea. And then if we have time, I have a backup idea. So actually, I'm going to do my backup idea first because it's better.
Lay it on us.
So it's an idea for a podcast for rating movies, and I call it Media Hold Up. And this is an idea I've had for years, probably even before this podcast idea. And basically, I think the way movie critics work is fundamentally wrong because when I want to watch a movie, all I want to know is if I'm going to enjoy the movie. I don't care about a history lesson of how groundbreaking the movie was when it came out or who the director is or how critically acclaimed or how much money or what the box office was or
if it's the number one movie in the world.
I don't give a shit about any of that, like popularity contest garbage. And all I want to do is be entertained. And that's not what movie critics do. Like if a movie critic if there was a service that only cared about if a movie was entertaining or not, there would be like two movies made before 1990 that would pass the test. Everything else would fail because old movies just aren't as good as new movies. It's for the purposes of entertaining. But movie critics, if you go, like they'll rate some movie from 1970, which you couldn't show that to a 24-year-old or and have them be entertained because it's just it might have been groundbreaking at the time or good at the time, but it's just not going to entertain us now.
It's like if you show someone an Alfred Hitchcock movie nowadays,
yeah,
compared to like I don't know some like Get Out is a new horror. It's not really a horror film, but compare the two, like Psycho to Get Out.
But the art has evolved.
Yes.
But movie critic ratings don't reflect that. They only reflect how good it was at the time. And the purpose of them is usually to inflate the reputation of the critic just to show off how smart he is about the history of
cinema.
Although
don't you need to know that? I mean, maybe your movie critic idea has to do a lot about the person that's going to be viewing. Like you create a user profile so they know that, okay, based on your user profile, you'll find these entertaining.
Yeah. And I'm going to get to that. Yeah. I have some of that in there. But so basically the current movie critics, yeah, they don't take into account profiles or how cinema has evolved and how it's not it's more about posturing and showing off historical knowledge and bullshit than about whether a movie's entertaining. And there's companies like Rotten Tomatoes website, which they try to correct that by having both critic ratings and fan ratings. But the problem with that, you run into the same thing. The fans also, the fans who choose to give ratings tend to also be the type of movie snobs who just want to show off their film knowledge and sort of be critics. Their goal isn't necessarily to tell you which movie's going to be most entertaining either. So they have, at least it's taking into account some common people who's some of them their goal might be to tell you if it's entertaining or not, but a lot of them, they're also just snobs trying to show off.
But isn't movie subjective? So not everyone will like the same movie.
Yeah.
So how would you work around that?
So the idea for media holdup would be you'd get a group of people together. I called it media holdup. It could be movie holdup specifically for movies, but or for music, other forms of media too. And you'd get – it'd be a podcast. You'd get – let's say you get a different person from a different age group. So you'd get a guy from his 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. You get like five people. And they would all watch – they would each – provide one piece of media that they want everyone else to watch before the podcast. So maybe it'd be one movie. One guy picks a movie. One guy picks a TV show episode. One guy picks a music album. One guy picks a piece of like art, like painting or something. And then one guy, miscellaneous, whatever he wants, that he wants everyone else to watch. Before the podcast. And then so during the podcast, they would all discuss it. And during the discussion, if anybody brought up, it would be censored. So if anybody brings up critic ratings or how groundbreaking it was or any bullshit that's not related to how much they enjoyed it in the moment, they would be interrupted. So it would be a discussion based, and it would be, how much did you enjoy it, watching it now in 2018, and so you'd get the perspective from the different people of the different ages.
So would you rewatch some of those critically acclaimed movies, such as like Back to the Future and all like Star Wars? We were talking about Star Wars earlier.
Yeah. When it's your turn to pick a movie for everyone to review, I mean, you could choose to do like – The Crying Game or some critically acclaimed movie, or you could do like a more mainstream movie like, I guess Back to the Future was mainstream and critically acclaimed. But then there's some mainstream movies like that aren't critically acclaimed at all, like Demolition Man is one that I really love. Sylvester Stallone, mm-hmm. Not really critically acclaimed.
Ted and Ted 2.
Yeah, Ted. Anything with Seth MacFarlane.
I forgot about those movies till now. Thanks.
Happy Gilmore, Adam Sandler.
I've rewatched Happy Gilmore, and I still think that it's good.
Yeah, I like that one, and then steep downhill from there.
So. Yeah, Adam Sandler was good in like the 90s. When the 2000s hit, all his movies were just horrible. Like with what's the Pac-Man one where he goes through? He's with
Pixels. I think
that's it. Pixels. Yeah, that was not a good film.
But yeah, so the idea would be a podcast for rating movies and music and stuff that aims to get different perspectives based on different ages, and also prohibits talking about snob shit and like how groundbreaking something is. It's only focused on how much did you enjoy it in 2018.
So after somebody listens to the podcast, they can determine that, like, okay, I'm a 45-year-old man. I liked Stripes, but if you're a 24-year-old man, you might not like it. And then you just sort of, depending on who you are listening, you sort of tune into the people you most identify with?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you might say, let's say you're 24, maybe the guy in his 20s didn't like Stripes, the guy in his 30s liked it, the guy in his 40s didn't, and then the guy in the 50s and 60s did. So you'd say, oh, it's got sort of a mixed review amongst young people. Maybe I'll give it a chance. Or you might say, oh, the 20-year-old didn't like it. I'm probably not going to like it. So, it's not an absolute thing, but at least it gives you a relative idea. Did everybody young just hate it? And then the idea would be also, so you would listen to the podcast as a listener, and it would give you maybe a better idea of whether you'll like a movie than going to Rotten Tomatoes or listening to reading an article by some movie critic. And then I could also have like a website of all of the past things that were rated, and what the guy, like a thumbs up, thumbs down from all of the different age groups. So over years, there would become like a huge list of things and how the different people rated them.
It reminds me of...
I do like the thought. Okay. I like the thought of just going on the enjoyment factor. Because so many times people think, oh, I have to like a movie because it's got, you know, Meryl Streep in it or some actor or directed by Steven Spielberg. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go away enjoying the movie. So I think you're onto something with the enjoyment-only factor and taking the snob factor out of it.
You hear all too often, like, look at Star Wars. I'm sorry I keep bringing up Star Wars, but The Last Jedi, it got awards, or it's up for awards, and the critics gave it like a 90 or something ridiculous. And then if you go over and you look at the audience, it's only at like a 50 or something like that. It's a huge disconnect. So with you doing this, I think it's going to... It's not just, oh, it's some machine that's calculating all this. You're going out and you're talking to people, and it's going to be more credible, in my opinion, because you'll probably pick up some people that will other people know. And me personally, I know I'll listen to my friends over Rotten Tomatoes any day. So if one of my friends says, hey, this movie is pretty good, you should check it out. And then I go on Rotten Tomatoes or like Metacritic or one of the other rating sites, and it's scored really low, I would listen to my friend and I'd probably still go see it. So I think that you're on to something.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I would have a lot of regular guests, and so you'd get to know their personalities too. Yeah, you're right. And that's part of the reason I didn't launch this is that even with this podcast, just finding three people every 2 weeks is hard enough to try to find five or six.
I almost canceled on you. No.
Yeah. Yeah. If I could, the ideal way would be if I had like two or three people within a given age group and just the same ones week after week, like a group of friends, rather than just random comics in the Michigan area. It's hard to find like close friends in every age group. Normally your friends tend to
be around your age. I don't think I have any 60-year-old friends. That would be a little weird.
Yeah. And then another interesting thing would be if this took off, you could have like online polls. Like people could say their age and whether they liked it. And so you could get like a huge, like out of thousands of ratings, what they thought of it. And that would be even better. Media hold up. That's what I would call
media
it.
Media hold up.
Okay.
And I even drew a little logo. And it's a robber with like a McDonald's Hamburglar robber mask and a hat. And he's like holding a gun at like an old timey TV, like a big round TV. And the TV's got his hands up, like he's getting held up by the robber. Media hold up.
I like it.
If you go to tommoma.com, I think I even have the little TBD section of the website where I was going to put the podcast, and I've got that logo there for media hold up.
So when are you planning on launching this? You have the logo. You have the website. You're all set.
I'll say if I get fired or if I make enough money off of Bitcoin that I can quit my job.
Yeah, what's up with that Bitcoin? Yeah.
It's starting to come back up. It tanked. It went way up in the fall, and then it dropped about half down from what the peak, and now it's starting to creep back up again.
Yeah, I don't think I can trust that. Yeah. I would never throw money into that.
I made a little money, not enough to retire.
Oh, well, keep at it, and then maybe.
I bought a used car with it, then...
With Bitcoin?
It's a similar one, Ethereum.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to talk about it too much on the podcast.
Okay.
People think I'm rich and rob me or something. But yeah, I don't have enough time to... I would have to... Just doing this plus the open mic comedy plus sketch comedy class I'm taking plus work. Yeah, I don't have time to do it.
I suppose it's tough when work gets in the way of your comedy.
If someone else wanted to take the helm and be the leader who gathered everybody and who edited the podcast, and I would be a willing participant. I would show up and watch the movies, but I don't want to be the guy who does all of the editing and finding people. And so if somebody's interested, you can send me a Facebook message. Maybe we could set it up, but I don't want to be the leader who has to do all the work, the boring work.
Editing is very tedious. Very tedious.
That's the type of one, though, you wouldn't necessarily need to edit. Yeah. This one we need to edit because some of the ideas suck. A lot of ums, and because you're thinking it's an idea, it's an abstract thing, but like a debate about a movie it's more conversational. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it would need as much editing. Maybe you wouldn't even need to edit it at all.
Now, do you watch any like YouTubers that do movie reviews?
Or no.
Do you just strictly go to like Rotten Tomatoes?
I don't even watch movie reviews at all. Maybe if I'm thinking about going to see a movie in a theater, I might go to Rotten Tomatoes like once a year. Or I'll look at the little guide on the TV when you hit info on the TV remote and read the description there. Sometimes there's something of a review there or a 4 stars, 3 stars. But yeah, I don't normally look at reviews too much. Because, like I said,
you know what you enjoy.
And the whole review system is so flawed, it's almost useless. Like I said before, because it's all just snobs showing off movie knowledge. It's not tied to enjoyment.
A lot
very
of critics
well.
Are like that. That you see patterns with critics, and like what you were saying, they're just in
conformity.
Yeah. If something gets a really solid grade, then everyone else feels obligated to give it a really good grade. And then that's why it's critically acclaimed.
I think that's what destroys art, mm-hmm. like an art form. Like paintings, I think, are so destroyed by that. There's literally no quality at all. It's all about conformity and snobbery.
I could throw straws on the floor, and if some big wig guy says that it's art, everyone will say that it's art.
Yeah. But that whole thing, I mean, as a society and as a culture, we should fight against that because that hurts the quality of the things we consume. Yeah, just to step up on a pedestal a little bit. You want to go with your other idea?
Okay, what kind of idea are you looking for? You want something that addresses a social issue or something that's completely ridiculous for around the house?
We should go with ridiculous.
Let's try ridiculous.
Okay. The product name is Catacomb. Okay. And you've seen litter boxes that are covered, right? For your cat?
I think so. Like sometimes in a Sharper Image catalog or something.
Yeah. You know, you go in, they step in. Well, as they step out, there would be a system of like brushes. So the cat gets in and it just goes against the brushes, then nothing happens. The cat just goes in, does his business. But on their way out, he gets combed. so you don't have as much hair around the house. Also, if you've got a long-haired cat, you will have experienced random dingleberries around. And this brush would also brush those away. So your cat, you know, would be brushed, wouldn't have poop hanging on, and, you know, keep them well-groomed. And it all happens whenever they use the cat box.
I really think this is, other than the poop thing, because I don't know if that the cat would like that. But just like brushing the hair off the cat has to go to the litter box. It's going to go to the litter box. That might be a really genius idea. Like, I mean, like the best ever on this podcast, if it works.
Yeah, it's just a matter. I mean, you've seen the like one-way doors kind of things. You know, you go in and you just go through, and then on the way back, you get the resistance of the combs that would go through the cat's fur and comb the cat, brush the cat as they leave.
It'd be like a spinning, like a car wash almost, but like not wet.
Almost like a car wash. Right. That's exactly it. That's sort of the picture I had in my head. You have the little, you know, boxed in litter box with the little structure in front for the, like the car wash without the water, and your cat gets clean. I mean, it could be those little, you've seen the lint roller kind of things, or the, you know, the tape. Cat could even like go through that, remove their hair, and cut down on that. If you've ever had a cat with long hair, you know that, you know, if you brush them once a week, you have enough hair to make a second cat. So this would keep that cat hair down.
If you could make it so it would, well, so where does the hair go? I mean, do you have to take off the
lint roller? Well, it would be, you'd have to clean it out occasionally. You know, it would then, if it were like a roller system, it would go through, leave the roller, you know, leave the hair in a some sort of receptacle, and then you'd have to empty that out every now and then. Maybe when you clean the cat box, you empty the hair.
Yeah, if that worked, if I were you, I would like work on this. If you have any engineering skills, because I really think something like that would, like, on like a infomercial or something, would really, really right. sell. Like a way to automatically clean the cat hair.
Now, what if you have a stubborn cat? And my cat's a real stinker. I don't like the cat. But my cat has long hair, too, so this idea is perfect. But it doesn't like going into the...
Perfect?
it doesn't like going into the litter box. So do I just throw the cat in there or what? What would you advise?
I guess you have to start when they're young to train them. I mean, if you have an older cat that doesn't like going in a litter box in the first place, they probably aren't going to like it. But if you start training your cat young, I guess that's, you know, the little problem with this idea is that not every cat is going to take to doing this. And they really have to start young knowing, okay, this is the only way this works. So if they were ever to go into a regular cat box, they'd wonder why they're not getting brushed on the way out.
I could see some cats.
So it's a training.
I could see some cats like loving this. Like it feels good for the cat.
Yeah, my cat rubs up against everything. So some of them, my cat would probably just be going back and forth, hanging this, hanging out of this thing just to rub up on the brush.
Would it be motorized or would it be propelled by the force of the cat walking through it?
I'm thinking it would be propelled by the cat walking through it, because if it's motorized, I think you might scare the cat.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay for my cat.
Or it might end up, like, bald.
Again, that's okay for my cat.
Or the cat
I don't think I'd want to...
Go ahead.
Wouldn't add power to it, you know, just for risk of injury or anything else. I would keep it pretty simple.
Or the cat might end up, like, not wanting to be pet anymore. It might be like, screw you, you're obsolete. I'll just walk through this thing all the time. Like,
cats already hate humans. That's another reason for them to never be around us.
So, you know, I guess I wouldn't be real disappointed if my cat didn't, you know, try to get me to pet it too much. If the catacomb could take care of that, I'd be fine with that.
Catacomb.
I like the name, too. You could make it, well, you wouldn't have to, but you could make it sort of like Egyptian, like
Egyptian theme. You could make, you know what? That's a good idea. Make it a, like a pyramid shape.
That I love
the cover
that.
Would be a pyramid over the cat box, and then it would have the door exiting with the comb, and that would be a catacomb. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I say you should get on that right now. That's awesome. I would buy one. How much would you sell it for?
$29.99.
It's always $99.
Would
it's
it...
always $99.
Would you have to calibrate it for a certain sized cat? Like
you'd probably want to, you know, it would be adjustable because obviously tiny cats would require a different pressure than a bigger cat. So it would be just an easy thumb screw adjustment. You move the combs back a little bit, depending on the size of your cat.
So if you have more than one cat, you'd have to have more than one of these, maybe, if one's significantly
bigger. Yeah, if you had one that was significantly bigger than the other, you might want to have two litter boxes. Well, if you have two cats, it's not a bad idea to have two litter boxes.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a nice way to keep the cat hair down and maybe your cat away from you a little more.
That would be ideal.
You want the cat to avoid you?
No, I don't want the cat near me.
Now, is it your girlfriend's cat or something?
No, I am single, so.
Why would you own a cat and not want to pet the cat?
Because I'm a dog person, so I don't even know why I have this cat. I just do.
Do you have a dog?
I had a dog. It died.
Okay, sorry to just bring the conversation down there.
Yeah. It's a comedy show, right, guys?
and you're a single guy with a cat.
Yeah. So right. Okay. I'm coming out of the closet on this.
If I got a pet, I would get a cat just because I don't want to deal with walking a dog.
Oh, but dogs are the best.
Yeah, dogs are funner, I think.
They actually love you.
Yeah. There's a comic, not a local guy. Mm-hmm. I always forget his name. He was on a sitcom as like a best friend, like a small role. And his joke was... I like small dogs because you don't have to walk them. You just have to hold them out the window and squeeze.
Oh.
That's always been one of my favorite jokes. Kate, you're horrified by that joke?
Just get like a little poodle or something while you're driving, roll down the window, stick the dog out.
I'm pretty sure it's a joke and not something he actually did.
That's something he really did.
That'd be interesting. I wouldn't doubt it if I saw that actually, though, today.
Maybe you could have a catacomb where you just hold the cat out the window and somehow...
And let the air blow the hair out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an attachment onto the door of the car. And so you can just put the cat somewhere and then it'll, I don't know, while you're driving, it'll go through the catacomb.
Oh, you know how cats, though, they're pretty wiggly. I would afraid the cat would, wiggle its way out and you'd get to your destination and realize you lost your cat about 5 miles ago.
Maybe you could have a catacomb, like a hamster wheel. Like they have those hamster, like, not wheel, but mm-hmm. like the tunnel things, the clear tunnels.
Right. Yeah. The habit trail.
The habit trail. You could have one of those, like, for the cat. That is sort of like your catacomb that it gets the loose hair off of the cat as it goes through the tunnel thing, but going towards its food instead of the litter box. Because it'll just use the litter box and then jump out the other way and not go into the catacomb or just shit in the... behind the couch.
Yeah, like what my cat does. Just craps everywhere.
But it's going to want food more than abiding by the rules of the household, maybe. So maybe
that's when you don't feed it.
You have like a food catacomb, too. Like maybe.
Yeah, I think that takes up a little bit too much room. You know, I think.
We just have catacombs.
I don't know.
Everywhere.
I keep my cat food out, you know, in the kitchen in a corner. And if I had a catacomb there, I think that would take up a lot of space that was unnecessary. That's why I think the whole cat box, and you know, they're going to go to the cat box more often than they're, well, not necessarily go eat, but you'd hope that, you know, they would use the catacomb bathroom a few times.
Now, do you just have a cat or do you have a dog too?
Just cats. I have two cats. Used to have dogs. At one time we were two cats and a dog, and then went to two cats after the dogs passed, and just a combination of animals over the years.
Okay. Now, some cats will use a human toilet, and then they have these fancy high-tech Japanese toilets for people. Maybe you could have like a catacomb that goes on the human toilet. So, like, when you sit on the toilet seat, it senses your weight, and a thing sort of comes up from the side of the toilet.
Oh, that would be a great prank.
Yeah, and it can, like, de-hair the cat, and maybe even, like, if you have a lot really bushy pubic hair, maybe it could de-hair you as well.
Take care of you at the same time.
Yeah.
How do I buy one of these catacombs?
Well, you have to wait for the infomercial.
Because after that pitch, I really need one.
I think that would be great. But you were talking about the toilets that some cats are trained. Well, our cats are not trained to go. But I have one cat that looks at the bathtub like a giant litter box.
The bathtub.
If she gets in the bathtub, she will poop.
Oh, my God.
And one time my wife said, oh, I forgot to shut the door. The cat pooped in the tub. Bring me some paper towel. I'm going, why? She said, well, bring a bag too. Bring one of those Meyer bags. Because she was going to put it in the bag, take it out to the trash. And I said, honey, what are you picking up? And she said, well, poop. I said, what goes in the toilet? Said, all you need is toilet paper. Just put it in the toilet and flush it. You don't need to take it out to the garbage.
You know, homeless people, when they live in like abandoned houses, abandoned apartment complexes that don't have plumbing, they'll shit in the bathtub. And so because they can just sort of sit on the side of the bathtub and their butt hangs into the tub, and they can for like months, they can like a big pile of shit develops in the tub, and then they just move to another abandoned room or whatever. So maybe your cat is like a reincarnated homeless person.
Homeless person.
Who
could
shits
be.
In the tub.
Yeah.
That would be terrifying.
Well, yes. You know what you mentioned, and I have to just bring this up because this was another idea just popped through my head, about the homeless people pooping in the tubs and everything. I have a solution for nighttime homelessness. Mattress stores should be nighttime homeless shelters. They've got the mattresses, just put down plastic over it, have them bring their own bedding or whatever, and then say, okay, you've got to vacuum the store, clean it up at night, you can sleep here. So, you know, you got 50 beds in your average mattress store.
That's assuming that no one steals anything. People.
Well, it's hard to steal a mattress if you don't have a truck.
You see some guy on the sidewalk.
Or, you know, a home to take you to. That's I'd just be nice afraid place. Of it turning into like a homeless person orgy or something in there. Like that could get real bad.
People would spill.
Some homeless people are just savage.
And piss and vomit and.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. And I also thought, you know, when I first thought of this, it's like, okay, they could use the bathroom as part of the, you know, thing, but it's like employees have to use that the next day. So just put an outhouse out back, or not an outhouse, you know, one of those port-a-johns. Say that's where you go.
But, we're out of time.
You could be savage.
We're out of time.
That's it.
Thanks for calling in, you guys, and thanks for listening. Good night.